हेलो प्रणाम नमस्कार हाउ आर यू ऑल। पंचतत्व गर्ल एक सोच एक आवाज एक बार फिर से आपके साथ और आप सुन रहे हैं प्रागुण तत्व टॉक्स माय ग्रीन पॉडकास्ट। तो दोस्तों जब हम ग्रीन और इको फ्रेंडली लिविंग की बात करते हैं तो आपने अक्सर ऑर्गेनिक फूड के बारे में तो सुना ही होगा। ऑर्गेनिक फार्मिंग व्हिच इज कनेक्टेड टू ग्रोइंग ऑर्गेनिक फूड is considered better for the environment because its practices involve less pollution, soil erosion, and even energy. It even concentrates on eliminating the use of pesticides in farming and benefits nearby birds and animals and even people who live close to farms. I even read that the principles of health, ecology, fairness, and care are the roots for which organic agriculture grows and develops. So listeners, if you are thinking, how is this organic farming done? And more importantly, who does organic farming? Kaun kar sakta hai? Can you or me also practice it? And if these questions are making rounds, agar ye sawal aapke dimag mein ghoom rahe hain, तो हम बिल्कुल इंतजार नहीं कर पाएंगे बिकॉज टुडे ऑन माय ग्रीन पॉडकास्ट आई हैव एन अर्बन फार्मर हु इज ट्राइंग टू लिव एज सस्टेनेबली एज शी कैन। यस यू हर्ड मी राइट, ब्रेकिंग ऑल द स्टीरियोटाइप्स, दिस सोशल एंटरप्रेन्योर हु वाज अ फॉर्मर बायोलॉजी टीचर इज एन एस्पायरिंग होमस्टेडर। सो हियर आई वेलकम Kalpana Manivannan to the Green Podcast with her sustainable views, which she's going to share with us today. Welcome, Kalpana ji. How are you?
Hi, Pragun. Thank you for the lovely introduction. Very happy to be here. I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. I'm really glad and good to have you here. So, हमारी चिटचैट को आगे बढ़ाने से पहले आई विल शेयर अ बिट अबाउट कल्पना जी। कल्पना इज एन ऑर्गेनिक अर्बन फार्मर ट्राइंग टू चेंज द पर्सपेक्टिव अबाउट फार्मिंग एंड ऑल्सो हेल्पिंग पीपल रियलाइज देयर सस्टेनेबिलिटी गोल्स एंड इवन द गार्डन ड्रीम्स। शी इज अ फॉर्मर बायोलॉजी स्कूल टीचर टर्न्ड ऑर्गेनिक फार्मर who is balancing her farm life and city life in Chennai. She focuses on all things natural, homemade, and sustainable. She is also a sustainable coach who has helped hundreds of people increase their self-reliance, and with DIY skills and her workshops, she has made people live a more sustainable life. She is part of Shellex Speaker Series and is even featured on Indian Express, Climate Tracker ORG, Women of Courage, and She the People TV. Not just this, she is a Rex Karamveer Chakra Award. You can read all of her work and courses and everything on her site, www.kalpavrikshafarms.com. So Kalpana, beginning with that, first of all, you are truly an influential female and your journey of being an organic farmer is a motivating one. I will begin my first question with, how did this journey begin for you about self-sustainable lifestyle and being an urban farmer? Was it any moment or any event that made this happen?
Okay, to start with, Pragun, that was a glowing introduction. Thank you for that.
You deserve and, it.
thank you so much. And yes, like you said, I don't think there was a moment in time or anything, but it was an ongoing, it was there in my mind for a very long time. Like it's been brewing inside of me for a long time. I think like most of the changes that we bring into our life, it's not just a spur of the moment decision. It's always been brewing, and it just takes the shape and form when it reaches the, you know, the peak of its, maybe, you know, in my case, it was the frustration.
Okay.
Right. it was the frustration and the concerns about, you know, food safety was what actually led me to actually start growing my own food. By that, what I mean is I was struggling to find organic produce for my family, for my kids, you know. While before I started growing my own food, I would always try to find, you know, sources, you know, visit farmers market or find even online. I would try to find stores which are, you know, selling organic produce, you know, because I did read so much about the pesticide menace and how, you know, all these harmful toxins and carcinogens and all that are getting into our body through our food. And no matter what that washing and everything we do, it still, you know, does get into our system. And, you know, reading more about it, and I was a science teacher and biology teacher at that, and I was constantly talking and reiterating the points and talking about the environment aspect as well with students. So, you know, it was like part of my life, you know, either whether I was teaching it or practicing as an individual, I had all these concerns from a very long time. So I would be, you know, so when I started looking for resources and, you know, really started strictly looking at, you know, looking at my food that is coming into my home, I was very concerned, you know, about the safety of the food that we are consuming, you know.
Right.
And after, you know, like, you know, of course, I tried a lot of sources to get from different places, and it was not easy. You know, it's always the best for us, and that too in a busy lifestyle in city, is that, you know, just order something from a particular shop. Do and then, you know, your day, your week, your month is sorted. And we are so busy that you know, in our, you know, chasing our deadlines at our work and other things, that we completely sideline the most important aspect, that is the food. That is what is the basis of our health, and that is why we are even earning the money that we are earning to be able to provide ourselves with the, you know, a healthy lifestyle, you know. And then I kept wondering, you know, what am I doing running all around, you know, making money and, you know, making sure that my kids have this and that. And but I'm not able to provide the basic thing, which is the clean food, you know, clean food in the sense food, which is, you know, really grown without chemicals, and it is nutritionally, you know, superior and all that. And so that's how my organic farming journey began. So that's when I decided, see, no matter what, I mean, what people are, there are organic produce in the store, but we still don't know who's growing it and what is the journey of that food, you know, to my plate. So by growing my own food, I realized that is, I can like literally completely cut off all these doubts, and I'll know I was the one who grew it. I know what went into growing it. So that way I can put myself at peace, and I can provide my family with a good, clean food. So that's how my of course my farming journey started. And like you said about the self-sustainability part, automatically, you know, it just came as a part of it, I would say. Anybody who is who even has a small garden or is into farming or thinks about organic in any way will definitely start looking at all other aspects, you know, because once the food part got sorted and I started growing them, automatically I started wondering, okay, what other things I'm bringing into my home, which has loads of toxins, right? So it's not just the food that we are eating, the things we put on our skin, whether it is cosmetics, soaps and other things, or the cleaners that we bring into our home, you know, for the sake of cleaning, we think that we are cleaning our homes, you know, but instead we are actually adding more toxin into our indoor environment. And, you know, that really, you know, really causes havoc to our immune system, basically, right? So it disturbs the microbial environment that is around us, which protects us, a lot of good bacteria and everything. And so, like, you know, just looking into each and every aspect, you know, I just started replacing everything, and, you know, started going. And because environmental consciousness was something, like I said, as a science teacher, was part of me. And when I started looking at how I can, you know, the reason is it was the first frustration where I thought, okay, why is the government not doing anything? Why are we not having, you know, good systems in place to take actions on, you know, reducing the plastic menace and all that? So I was being more angry at that time, looking at why the society is the way it is. Why are we not being so passive about these things, you know, from there? And that is how one fine day it just happened that I just stopped, you know, thinking about how why this problem is. And instead of why, I just thought, okay, I'll shift my focus to being part of the solution instead of the problem. I just thought, okay, instead of thinking what others and the government and this and that can do, I'll do what as an individual I can do. You know, that's the only thing that's in my control, right? And so that started my journey into sustainable living, I would say.
Great. That's really a journey to look forward to. And when you say that you were trying to find a solution, this really like inspires me that how you turned your frustration for looking for a good food and turned it into a solution by doing this. So really a great journey. And like when you just described the word, when you talk of organic farming, we all know in a simple language that it is something which discourages the use of harsh chemicals or reducing pesticides, herbicides and other harmful chemicals that can wash off the major flora fauna around it. So I'm sure it comes with more environmental benefits. So like what are the benefits you have observed, or what does organic farming has helped you, and you being a teacher, you have observed it on the environment?
Okay, so where do I begin, you know, because it's so much so much benefits. Of course, you know, there's literally there is only benefits, you know, nothing more to this. You know, I can say that it, like you said, it starts with not adding toxins into the soil, especially, right, you know, with through pesticides or, you know, herbicides and fertilizers for that matter. We are literally changing the composition of the soil, right? When you add all these fertilizers, it's natural component. And one thing we forget is that we just look at, see, as human beings, we think that we can just do anything we want to get what we want. Like we want, even in farming or gardening, all we look at it is a transaction. Like you're growing food. I want my food. I'm sowing a seed. I want some plants to grow, and I get some food from that. That's it. We do not consider the multitude of things which are involved in, you know, this process of growing food, you know. The first and most basic thing, and especially organic farmers, as organic farmers, we believe in the soil. And soil, we think that it is not a handful of dirt, a handful of, you know, dead soil. It is a living soil. If you take a hand, even a spoonful of soil, they say that there are millions of living organisms in that soil. And, you know, those organisms, there's a huge network, underground network of the fungal network, which actually does a lot of benefits. I mean, if you can go into it, you know, it's mind-boggling to see the things, the microbial world, you know, which we can't see as human beings, but you know, there is so much more, and they actually make sure that everything is running smoothly. And by adding fertilizers and other things, we are killing all these microbes in the soil, and we are completely changing the composition, making it either too acidic or too basic. And then we try to counter it by adding more chemicals, right? So what happens is we continuously keep damaging and making the soil, which is actually living, into a dead soil, right? And then we wonder why things are not working, and then we try to add more to this pollution. And not only that, it is not just killing the microbes in the soil, it is not just polluting and adding chemicals to the soil, it is of course going to seep into the plant that we are growing, and we are consuming it. That is of course a direct impact that we are going to see anyways. We are going to be, you're not putting poisons and getting away with it, you're eating it actually at the end of the day, right? So we are consuming it. It's affecting our system. We are giving it to our family. They are getting affected. And of course, our health is damaged. That is, every intelligent species on earth will know that that is what is happening. What you sow is what you reap. But apart from that, it also not only just disturbs the soil and its composition, it goes underground, it seeps down and goes and pollutes the water table also, all the toxins that we are adding. So what happens is we are not only contaminating our food, we are also ending up contaminating the water system. So water that we drink, the food that we eat, is all we actually voluntarily add poison to our food. That's how simple it is to look at, you know. And not just that, I'm just trying to talk about very selfishly, as what is it doing to us as humans, right? Because that way we will be forced to rethink our ways. So when we say, you know, when it concerns an individual, you know, then we start looking at it as, you know, taking it very seriously. So that's why I'm first focusing on that. The second, of course, and many other aspects is that we are, of course, killing not just the microbes, but the birds and the bees and the surrounding organisms which are living, you know, everything. And we don't have to be a big scientists or, people who to understand, because basic food chain and ecosystems and all that we have learned even in fourth and fifth grade. All of us know this, right? That there is this food chain, there is this trophic levels, energy levels from one organism to other. There is a beautiful network. If even one thing gets disturbed in this cycle, everything collapses, you know, slowly. So we are damaging a lot of things, not just for us, but for the other organisms, around us. So we are contaminating food, water systems for not just us, but for the other organisms. And we are going against the natural systems. We are increasing the toxicity in the environment so much, and we're increasing our carbon footprint, unnecessarily producing these pesticides and chemicals. That itself takes up a huge amount of energy. So that is another thing. And we're causing ecological damage at a very massive amount. This has a cascading effect on all elements of nature. So it is not just about us and the food, right? It has damages across all levels.
True.
And organic farming, if you just do that, I think you can prevent all of this, basically, right? So going back to our organic ways is best for everyone, for humans, for the environment, for other organisms, everything.
True. Absolutely. Means it is filled of so many benefits. And when you said this line, I so love this line, when you said that we believe in soil. And this reminds me of a quote that I had read, that I believe in gardening the soil as well as the soul. So there is a soul beneath the soil which speaks a lot. It is not only about the dust or the dirt or the upper layer that you see. There is a life ahead of it. Great. And this by encouraging organic farming and this natural plants, and when we talk about all the environment consisting of insects, birds and animals, they sure will survive and thrive more in abundance when this natural environment is maintained in the ecological balance when we opt for organic farming. So I must say that organic agriculture is an agriculture technique which certainly sustains, maintains, and even enhances the quality of the ecosystem where we are living.
Yes. And I would like to add from my experience in this is that, it's organic farming itself. Another way to look at it is we need to try to have a multitude of crops, you know, because we have been doing monocropping a lot, right? For the industrial purposes, we just do monocrop, one particular crop for acres and acres and things like that. So when we do organic farming, the way it was started was, you know, the small scale farms, right? Small scale farmers. What they'll do is they'll grow a lot of things because their own family needs it. They just don't need one crop, right? Mm-hmm. If you are a household, you will grow vegetables, you will grow oil seeds, you will grow pulses, you will grow cereals. Apart from this, I saw and actually I learned through my own experience on maintaining a farm is that I actually also grew a lot of other plants which were not essentially beneficial for me directly. I was not consuming it. Like there were some plants, flowering and fruiting plants, berries and things like that I planted because I wanted to invite birds and bees into my farm, right? Wow. So it's basically creating creating that small space into an inviting space for other species also, so that, you know, it's not just for, I'm not growing vegetables for my family is going to consume it, that's it, I just use only grow those plants, right? Uh-huh. So creating an environment which is, you know, conducive, and it automatically benefits the birds. Birds come in, you know, they eat the berries, they actually, you know, bring in the pollination, the bees come in, it helps in my pollination. So invariably it's helping me, right? But also that it's not just this one dimensional thing that I'm growing, I'm consuming. From that attitude, you know, adding more. So the more I started doing this natural farming, more of, you know, natural elements, I saw an increase of earthworms in my, you know, soil, which is wonderful for, you know, the soil itself, right? So you need to, you know, give and then you get, right? That is what you need to think about. Yeah.
Wow. So I'm sure, Kalpana, aapke farm par the birds, the bees, the insects, the earthworms must be thanking that you are actually helping them have a life, have a like a growth area and a mini ecosystem that you are looking forward to these small, small things. Matlab aajkal ye cheeze bahut rarely sunne mein aati hai that kids get to know about these earthworms or the birds or pollination. I think it is all books mein zyada reh gaya. So it's so lovely to know that you spoke about these small cute things that which are helping our ecosystem as well as their lives as when we talk about the habitat or environment in general. Wow.
Yeah, I am actually very grateful for having them in my life. That's what I would say.
Wonderful, wonderful. So listeners, let me tell you that Kalpana even takes courses on zero waste living, making organic soaps and cleansers too. And as a sustainability coach, she is constantly trying to spread the message of living a chemical-free and waste-free lifestyle. So when we talk of zero waste lifestyle along with this organic farming journey and adopting a zero waste lifestyle, was it a challenging task or was it difficult when switching to a zero waste lifestyle considering the present day scenario and the life we people are living these days?
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely. I still face challenges, you know, okay. Because our society isn't running in a way that it supports waste-free lifestyle, you know.
Right.
So what happens, the major challenge that I found, especially when I thought, I'm going to start, living a waste-free life as much as possible. Zero waste, I feel sometimes it is a term which cannot really be translated exactly, because, you know, in our, when you live, you do create waste, right? But
right.
So I try to look at it as, you know, less waste, as less waste as you can generate, you know, that is mm-hmm. what should be our goal rather than, you know, zero waste, because that puts people off. Basically, because they think that they can never achieve. It's an unachievable target and then you give up, right?
Right,
so that
right.
is why I try not to use that concept, but that is the way to just, you know, get your attention to the part of, you know, low waste or zero waste, right?
Right.
So the biggest challenge that I found and I still find is that I don't find resources to support my waste-free lifestyle. And, you know, that is what every individual, you know, if you are consciously trying to live a waste-free life, we do not find enough stores that supply plastic-free packaging, first of all, right?
Okay.
That itself, you know, becomes an issue. Like, if you're going to buy anything, you mm-hmm. just, if you can just look at your grocery, list, and if you just see all that thing that we bring into our home, we can take a carry bag, we can take a cloth bag, no worries. But mm-hmm. then inside that, you will have all these items which are already packaged in plastic, right? You cannot buy in loose or in bulk. You know, in those days, remember, maybe when we were kids or something, we would have these stores which will have it in bulk, you know, in sacks.
Right.
And you just go take it and put how much ever you want. They'll pack it in a newspaper bag or something
right.
like that, and they'll give you
Absolutely.
Paper bags and all that, and that is all gone. And we are now, everything, whether it is from a 100 gram packaging or 1 kg packaging, everything comes in a plastic bag,
right.
already sealed and packed for you.
Yes.
So what happens is, that is the biggest challenge. So when you say I don't want to bring in plastics, you invariably have no other choice, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
mm-hmm.
it's not like a decision that an individual makes. I can decide today that I don't want to bring, I can carry my dabbas, I can carry cloth pouches which I have, but I need to have a store which will give me, you know, that kind of plastic free packaging options. We have a couple of them in Chennai, and I was actually procuring from there as well. But then what happens is it's just one odd stores here and there, right?
Right,
so you have
right.
to travel so much. I have to go, I'm on the outskirts of Chennai, and I have to literally travel so much to go into the city
mm-hmm.
to, you know, reach this store. So what happens is, for an individual, anyone who is trying to go zero waste or trying to at least reduce their waste, this is
mm-hmm.
this I see as a major hurdle
right.
in you know, because we don't have that kind of a support system. So like every nook and corner you have a supermarket, and people
mm-hmm.
can go and buy whatever, and that is the most convenient thing. So
right.
whatever is convenient is what will grow, right?
Right.
And that is how people, all of us have come into this convenience mode of living where we order something, it comes home, we are done. Right. And it's easy, and more people will opt for it if you don't give them any other option. So if there's zero waste stores are available similarly, you know, every nook and corner, if you have the zero waste stores, then it becomes easier for people to go or even try. Now people don't even try because, you know, it's so cumbersome, you know, it's so difficult to, you know, in our times when we don't have time, these are all things, you know, going and finding a particular store and going there to shop and all is, it becomes a challenge for us. Right. So I feel that is the biggest challenge. And if we have that system in place and if we have more and more stores like this coming up and if the government also supports this and brings in more of these, then I think it will become easier for people to adopt and adapt to this lifestyle. So for me, that is the biggest challenge I face.
I completely agree. And when you were mentioning about this newspaper wrapping, so this reminds me of two examples. One, in my childhood, I used to go to my nani's place in Ujjain, and I still remember they used to pack even the namkeens in the newspaper, and they used to have those white colored thread which they used to bundle it up. So I still have the memories of that plastic free packaging which they used to provide. Yes. I'm talking about 20-30 years ago. So why not we do today? Yes, but one example is, but as you said that there are very few stores. I remember a store I visited, that's Spar, and they have this reusable paper bags, and they have kept all the grocer in the big baskets like rice, dal, chini, sabudana, and you can like pick it up, fill in it in your paper bags, and they will just tape it up. So I at least know this concept. But yes, as you said, these are very few stores, and this is only one example right now which I remember. So yes, all are not still on those lines. Very few people, very few stores are working on those lines lately.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, there are, but I do see a positive change, and there are stores coming up, and we have a couple of them in Chennai, which is exactly like how you mentioned. Even oil, for that matter, they keep it in bigger containers, and you can take your oil can and, you know, fill up, you know, that kind of a thing, you know. So it's really good. I used to take my own containers and get things, but like I said, it's so far away, and it is just one or two here and there in the city, which becomes, you know, too much to actually access these places. That becomes a problem. And like you mentioned about the paper packaging, you remember, even in South, we had this banana leaf packaging. We had another leaf, the dried leaf they have, you know. And with the dried leaf, they'll package all this, like you say, like the pakodas or, you know, kind of snacks, right? They'll package that. And like you said, that white thread, yes. And actually in our, Tamil Nadu, at least, you know, we have this, the banana fiber itself, the banana leaf also, and the banana fiber is used as a thread. Even to string the flowers, right? We used to use those threads, those fibers. Actually. So literally we have solution available for us, in front of us, you know, natural solutions are available, but we have moved away from all that is what is the sad part.
More awareness needs to be pushed over here. And I really would like to thank all of those who are still packaging, like you said, in banana leaves, using the banana fibers. Keep doing the great work. We need more people like you. And as we were just talking about the zero waste, so I completely agree that it is like getting used to it. It is not impossible to create zero waste. But yes, there are ways to reduce consumption. I know that it's not easy day one, okay, I'll go zero waste and plastic free in present situation. I know it's not that easy, but all I can say is that if we try to be more aware and conscious of what we buy and what we throw, I think we will be doing a favor to ourselves only by avoiding unnecessary purchases, or ultimately in the long term reducing our own ecological footprint, as we say, and certainly doing a favor to our planet by reducing the amount of waste which goes to landfills. Because as you were talking about this plastic thing, so sometimes I know that nobody, like percentage is very low, who is bothered about when we cut a plastic bag of say milk or bread or tea or anything. What happens once it goes to the bin? What after that? Nobody is concerned. It just piles up the landfills.
Right.
Awareness, awareness, and awareness. So, talking about awareness, you take so many courses and workshops and have been trying to spread awareness about the benefits of organic farming as well as this chemical free and waste free lifestyle. So, was it difficult to convince people? And, this one term which I read about you about homesteading. So, what was your experience sharing this to people, convincing them, and making them feel that yes, this is part of our life only, and this is not a very new concept. This is old concept which you are only doing it now. So, how was this journey about?
Yeah, of course. It is difficult to convince people. Forget convincing. We don't actively go convincing people around. Even we practicing something like this, you invite a lot of mockery, mocking stares, and you know they'll be snubbing you. Oh, okay. Just because you're carrying a cloth bag, are you going to change the world? You know, kind of a lot of. Snide remarks, you will hear a lot of things, and that is going to be part. I have to tell even your listeners also that if you are going to start, please be ready for all that, because it will happen, you know, whether it's your own family, your neighbors or friends, whoever it is, you are going to be part of that little bit, at least for some time, you know. And the only thing I would say is just keep persisting. You know, don't let that bog you down. It will be. People will pull you down. People will say, kya ho jayega? You know, what is the big deal? You know, what are you going to achieve out of this? You know, and why don't you just continue like the way every, because tumhare, you know, just because you are doing it and there are a million other people who are not doing it, it's not going to make any difference. But what I keep telling and what I have realized is that even if you are not going to use that one plastic straw, or a one plastic bag, imagine there are like, you know, 1,000 other people thinking, let's not even say that they have started, they are just starting to think, should I really use this or should I really buy this? That is more than enough. So that is 1,000 people there deciding not to buy that, right? So you're not alone. So never think that you're alone, and never think that your one drop in the ocean is going to be of, it's inconsequential. Do not ever think that. Every small drop, every small thing that you are doing as an individual is contributing in a very big way. You know, we don't know how many people right now are thinking about it and actually cutting down on the waste, and probably just that one decision, right, at that moment they are taking, okay, I will not take a plastic bag today, or I will not take the straw, I will stop buying this or that. So there is this change happening, and like you said, that awareness is the biggest thing, and instead of saying, oh wow, okay, everybody is, you know, just mocking, and they're like, you know, what are you going to achieve by this, instead of just going to their side, you stick to your own ideals, you know, you do what is right. What do you think is right in your mind, and if you stick and you persist, I think slowly what happens is those naysayers will also, you know, start slowly coming to your way. So sometimes it's not about, you know, going there and pushing your way and trying to convince people. It is just when you start living the way you want to live, and then people see it, you know, first they'll mock you, they'll, you know, snub you, everything will happen, but then when they see that you're consistently doing it, and I think you will automatically, whether you know it or not, you are influencing others, right? Those same people who are those naysayers will start looking at it and start imbibing and say, okay, maybe I'll also try. So you are influencing you. They may not say it to your face, but it is there. So do, please do the good work. Do continue doing whatever little you're doing. And, don't worry about the others who are trying to pull you down. So yes, there will be difficulty in convincing. And in my case, what I realized was, when I started this, of course, I had my fair share of all the things that I told about the mocking and everything. But I also found my tribe, you know, in the process. I also found people, and everybody, you know, in my courses, people who come together, the one thing that, you know, after a couple of discussions, when we all get, you know, like all nice, we know each other, we've introduced each other and all that, the first thing everyone says is, oh my god, I'm so glad I'm here in this group where, you know, I do not sound like a weird person, you know, because in my home, in my extended family, I'm the weird one. you know, because others don't
understand.
I can
understand.
They look at me like a weirdo, and as if, you know, I'm doing something strange, and you know, it makes me feel really bad, and I don't feel like I belong there, and somehow, you know, it makes me feel bad. But here I find this group, everyone is in the same path, everyone is talking about those same things, and you know, we connect so much, so that we kind of find the tribe. And that is what I found very interesting. And when I created these courses, and when I, it was not just about giving a resource to them saying, okay, you can, you know, switch to this and that. Mm-hmm. It was not just that. What I found in the hindsight was that I was also creating this community of people who felt that they belonged and that they're right in the way they are thinking. You know, even right. if they are in the minority group right now, mm-hmm. they are still, you know, their points are valid, and they should not give up just because the majority doesn't think that, you know, that's the way to go. So, right. and that gave them a very good and a safe space to exchange views and, you know, even keep moving forward. You know, it's like, it's not, I never feel that sustainable living or, you know, anything like that is a destination, that you reach a place on one fine day and then you're done. It's right. an ongoing journey. You know, you keep adding more and more sustainable options to your lifestyle. You know, right. you find everything, something new every day. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I still have challenges, and I'm still trying to overcome them every single day. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, I do not beat myself up, and I keep telling that to my group of people also in my community, in my courses, whoever the participants who come in. I said, even if you are starting today and mm-hmm. you're just doing 1%, don't beat up yourself saying that I'm not doing enough. You, wherever mm-hmm. you are, whether you are doing 1%, whether you're doing 50%, or you are in the 90th percentile, you still have chance to grow, and you should continue to, you know, pat yourself on the back and say, yes, today I'm better than yesterday, or, you know, today I have done so much. And it is also one more thing I always see around me, is that the minute you say I'm going plastic free, or you cannot throw away all the plastic outside your mm-hmm. home and say I'm plastic free, right? That mm-hmm. is the right. most detrimental thing you could do, and right. that's the most unsustainable, or the most damaging thing you could be doing. You are supposed to continue to use whatever you already have in mm-hmm. the most efficient way, you know, reuse it, and then finally you know, recycle it probably in a mm-hmm. in the right way. And then it's not like when you come, you say that you are going zero waste, that you should not have any plastic in your home, which means that you have just dumped all that plastic somewhere, and it's again going, and it's damaging the environment in some right. way, right? So it's right. not that at all. You could still be having all those, you know, you might be having plastic containers, or a lot of, actually, if you see, there are so many ways in which we cannot avoid our water filters, for example, right?
Right.
They come in plastic, plastic, you know, those things. Yeah, so a lot of things you cannot, but what you can do is you can stop getting more of it, right? The mm-hmm. next time you go, okay, I already have a plastic bucket at home. So the next time I buy, or when it is worn out, I can put it for recycling and then probably get a better alternative, right? Maybe a metal bucket or something. Mm-hmm. So you can mm-hmm. start looking for options, but it
options.
Is not advisable that you're throwing out your bucket because a good but, you know, working condition bucket, and then saying, okay, I'm going zero waste.
Zero waste.
Is something which is not... the right way to do it. So continue right. to use whatever that you have already in your home to the best possible way, and then dispose it responsibly, mm-hmm. and then going forward, try to not get as much of the plastics and try to replace them with other options. You know, there are bamboo toothbrushes, you know, whether mm-hmm. you are switching to stainless steel straws, if you're using more of straws,
right.
You know, like that, you know, just look mm-hmm. at other options going forward. That will be a better way to carry on.
Great. So you answered two yeah. of my very important questions right now, Kalpana, because one yes. is often that I hear that how can an individual effort bring a change to such a big global problem? But glad that you said that be persistent, keep on doing whatever you're doing. And when you say that we certainly get mockery, I'll just share my example that it's been a year that I have been following this kind of lifestyle. I'm just trying, but it gets difficult mm-hmm. for me myself to convince my family members how to cut a milk packet till now.
Yes.
So, but I keep on doing it. They now realize it. They feel sorry when they cut it like that, and they bhool gaye. Manka, it's okay. It is just a habit which you have to keep on bringing in yourself. Like my son is always now aware that whenever I'm stepping out of the mama bag liya, So this is like how the change is coming, and I'm happy ki, okay, absolutely, at least I'm trying to bring that bit of awareness that yes, okay, you are aware. It's not good that okay, just pay 5 rupees and buy a plastic bag from some place. Rather than carry your own bag. So right, keep on doing what you're doing is all we can do. And as you talked about the Stripe thing, so I know that I haven't done any course or any workshop, but first, Kalpana, by reading you and checking your site only made me feel, yes, I have people who are thinking on the similar lines, who are actually working on those lines. So yes, let's grow with Thrive. Let's spread awareness as much as we can is the least we can do or the maximum we can do. We were talking about that you impart courses to adults and everyone. And I would like to mention here, listeners, that she has a special place for kids too on her farm. So tell us about the school connection and about the course on teaching kids about farming, which you have started.
Okay, so I actually work with some international schools by, you know, incorporating farming as a curriculum, you know, within their system, right? So like once a week, they have a farming class. That is the kind of, curriculum that we thought that we can incorporate in their own. It's not like, you know, one day field trip, you know, once a year. Not that, but having a farming class itself regularly on a weekly basis, right? So that kind of a thing we have. I'm working with an international school right now, and we were actually working on the ground. The school had a little farm, a space for them, and then we were working on the farm. The kids would come, they'll have hands-on experience of growing vegetables, cereal crops and everything, and we would grow, we would do all the, you know, all the steps of farming, from preparing the soil to sowing the seeds to harvesting and pest control and everything that we were doing naturally, how we can do all these things. So I designed a curriculum to incorporate not just the hands-on growing part on the ground, but also to incorporate discussions around food safety and how important it is to read the labels on the food packages that are coming in, and knowing your farmer, right? Why local and seasonal foods are good for us and our environment, and what is the energy mile on those foods that we are getting from abroad? What is that doing? And talking about pest side menace, and all these topics are all incorporated right at different type stages. I talk about these topics, and that has had such a impact, and the kids, actually the way they have taken to it was so amazing, because they are our future. Their minds have to be filled with the right things to go forward. If they continue the way the world is going right now, I think we don't have anything to look forward to anymore. I feel as adults, we are already set in our ways, and we have been used to certain ways, and I can see that adults are struggling, but for children it is easy. Adapt so easily to, if you give them good things, they'll just pick it up and absorb it so beautifully like a sponge. And I know that if you put that small seed of living more sustainably and understanding why clean food is good for your health and why should we do this for the environment and all that, that seed is going to really, not just stay there but grow. As they grow older, they will definitely carry this thought in them, and when they start become adults, right, I'm definitely positively I feel that they are going to bring the good changes that we are expecting, or we want the kind of changes, right? That's going to definitely happen through these kids, because right now our goal has to be to make sure that we are actually engaging them in and opening up discussions to tell them why this our existing ways are not working anymore, and why it's not good, why it's actually damaging. And so that was really very interesting to have this curriculum in schools, especially, and children are our biggest hope, and we owe them a better planet. We owe them a better planet to live in. We cannot give them this broken system and go. And it breaks my heart to see this level of devastation we have created in our lifetime. And we have a responsibility to be better ancestors for the generations to come. And, you know, and bringing change, I feel, in the young minds, and teaching them what's good for them and to pave way for better future is something that I feel that's a small bit that I get to do by, you know, through this school connect that I have with different schools, you know, and talking about organic farming and how these children have taken on, you know, and whatever the few, I think initially we were doing this on ground, and then of course, post-COVID currently, you know, after the COVID thing, we continued online also. Right. So initially we thought, and the schools really wanted to continue, even though it was, you know, online, we were wondering, you know, is it going to work out? How can farming be online, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, earlier it was, you know, the hands-on experience was the biggest thing they were looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And when this COVID happened, and we thought, okay, now do we just scrap it off, or what do we do? And the school was like, no, we have seen, you know, there were two batches who had gone by that time on ground, and they had seen such massive impact of that they wanted to continue. They said, okay, can you please redesign or reimagine the course for us so that it can be taken online. And then I worked out the curriculum and then thought about it, and how now it's been going on online for almost 2 years. Since COVID, we have been doing this online, and it's extremely successful, and it is extremely gratifying.
Wow.
That we were able to, you know, reach it even, you know, via the online mode. It's still reaching them. So yeah, that's something I feel really hopeful and optimistic through this venture of mine. Yeah.
Wow, that's so wonderful that you are taking efforts to impart this awareness to our young generation, the youth of today. And of course, as we say that this sustainable living, this teaching to this generation, this is the flag bearer of like sustainable and environmental benefits, which we are going to reap in future. And of course, with this increasing population and growing needs to feed more mouths in the years to come, it is really a paramount importance to adopt this practice. We call it sustainable living, call it eco-friendly living, call it zero waste or waste-free or chemical-free lifestyle, just to ensure that our natural resources are in position to satisfy basic human needs in the future. And Kalpana, I would really like to say, like, not only to my listeners, to everyone, not just few international schools, I would love that Indian schools and globally everyone realize the importance of this teaching farming to our kids, so they get to know how the food on our plate exactly comes, what is the journey it comes on our plate, that they realize that we should not waste, we should not throw, and how to consume consciously. Great.
Absolutely.
I loved it. So then I'm talking about your views. I remember I had read your post on New India Express where you had shared your views on zero waste lifestyle. And when you say that we need to reduce our waste, or we look for options, so any few suggestions to my listeners in daily life for reducing waste and living more eco-friendly, or like how you practice in a home setup, when we call it.
Right. Sure, actually there are so many different ways in which you can do it. And I just remembered, Pragun, that I think I didn't talk about the homesteading part. I think I completely missed that during your earlier question. And I think I remember that, because I think I could add that here, because what I wanted to talk about is, sometimes we feel zero waste living is a new concept, you know, something new that has cropped up, this term zero waste. But if we look at our Indian system, we have already, I mean, at least our previous generation, we have been actually living a sustainable and a zero waste lifestyle only. It is not an alien thing. Only the word, the term is new. Yeah. Okay, we have never used plastics in our earlier times. We have these metals, right? We have stainless steel, we have copper, we have all kinds of, I mean, our country has been blessed with all these natural substances which are available around us, which we were using very beautifully for different processes, whether it is home, you know, cooking or packing or whatever it was, we were using it very beautifully. And slowly, I think it was a Western influence, or for whatever reason, we have moved towards the stainless steel, our tiffin boxes and water bottle and you know, you're taking those. We used to take this bag, lunch bag, which was, which was either, handmade, or you know those things. We were using all that while we were growing up. There was no plastic dabbas and stuff like that. We had this metal, the Natraj, what is it, the Camlin and all that, pencil boxes and all that. You know, we had right options in the right place. It would last longer. It would come for such a long time. You know, sometimes I think tiffin boxes we never changed for a few years even.
Yes.
But then what happened? We slowly started seeing all these colorful, you know, cartoon characters and you know, different color. Just because you couldn't bring in colors in steel containers, we just moved to plastic, which was such a, you know, we got attracted to all this, you know, lights lightweight and you know it's colorful and it can have cartoon characters, but you know how much that hot food that you're putting into that plastic dabba is getting leached into those food itself, right? We don't think about completely stop thinking about all that. I don't know where our intelligence went, suddenly evaporated, but we have completely forgotten all that. And we have almost, you know, maybe for decades we have been doing this, right? Plastic water bottles, plastic, you know, tiffin boxes and everything plastic, literally.
Right, right.
And the main thing was the attraction towards the colorful things kids got in the media, you know, they propagated it so much. And kids got attracted, and you cannot convince the kids now that everybody else is bringing. It becomes a peer pressure, and you know, a lot of things acted out and played out. Parents actually have peer pressure because the other neighbor is having something new, right? So how can children resist it? So all those things, I feel, has played a role in us moving away from our sustainable lifestyle, which was already in place. Very well going on wonderfully, and we just moved out of it. So just by going back to that, our age-old things, you know, stainless, go back to stainless steel tiffin boxes. It will be, it's cost-effective, it's long-lasting, there's nothing wrong about it. Food, you know, will be safe in that. I don't know what else we need more than, you know, to not to go back to that. So that is something that I think we should definitely invest. We don't have to purchase it year after year. Because plastic, of course, fades off and all that. So you can definitely do that. So I would suggest that, you know, those are simple ways just to go back, and then using cloth bags, switching to, you know, options which are, you know, even I say sometimes, you know, I still, no matter how modern our lifestyles are, I am old school. Like, I use handkerchiefs always. For me, that is the only thing which works for me. I need to have a handkerchief in my hand all the time.
Same
and
here.
I, though I was in US almost for a decade, almost for 10 years, even in US, I that's where I saw all this, you know, tissue papers, you know, boxes and boxes and boxes of tissue paper. We do have, you know, we just bought one for the car because while you're traveling, you might need something. But I never, I always ended up seeing that nothing, it never got used because I'll always carry a lot of other towels with me, right? So I'll never have the need to use it. And, you know, the fibers stick on your face, and I never liked it for some reason. And I keep wondering, why are we wasting, you know, not just wasting our money, but you know, it's unnecessary, you know, wastage of resources, and again it's going into a dump. So why do we do that? We can just use a cotton handkerchief, use it again and again for years together, you know. You have four or five with you. I have that, you know, I have three or four handkerchiefs, and I can just use it throughout the year or more even. And that really, I really like that. And what I do especially is, in my bag I'll always have you know, this cloth bags, which are, you know, nice cotton cloth bags which you can roll up, and it'll just become very, it'll occupy very small space,
right?
You know, you can
roll
it up and put it inside your bag, so that whenever you're going out, you will not forget that you are, you know, taking you forget your bag or anything. And a couple of these jute bags will be always in my car. So that, you know, even on the way, suddenly on a spur of a moment, shopping or something comes up, you still have these things. So that, so these are certain practices we can put in, so that, you know, we don't end up forgetting. Because forgetting, when you initially start, the biggest thing is that it's a change, right? So we tend to forget, and then that continues for a long period of time. So just see wherever you know, that comes in, we can bring in ways to counter our forgetfulness and get things in place. And we always, I have a small cutlery pouch, like, and I have a fork and a spoon and a stainless steel straw in it. And it is always, you know, that pouch, I'll just, even if I'm changing my handbag, I'll always, you know, just put the pouch in that. So everything is inside of it, right? So that way, whether we are visiting a restaurant or anything, like on a roadside, if you have a coconut, tender coconut, you know, we are going to have it, or, you know, so I always have the resources with me. Great. So I can just pull it out and use it. And so these are the some of the things that I suggest we do. And when I talk about sustainable life, so the first thing that comes to my mind is from scratch cooking, which is so simple. All of us do it, actually.
Okay.
You know?
Yes,
because, and it is not talked about that much, you know, because we talk about big things. Whenever we talk about zero waste and sustainable lifestyle, we talk about huge things that we forget. So when an individual is looking at these articles and reading about, they said, okay, I don't think I can do anything in this, right? This is all something that the UN has to decide, the big activists can do, I can't do much. You know, it's not always about cleaning the ocean or, you know, doing a huge things at right. that level. I'm saying, as individuals, if we just take care of small things within our home, that will actually bring in such a huge impact collectively. When we look at it, you know, all these different households doing this practice, composting, right? Let's say composting, you are reducing your kitchen waste and converting them into something really useful. Imagine all this waste which was getting dumped in the landfills. If you could just convert all of the kitchen, every day we are cooking, how much of almost a bucket full of waste we generate every day, which is all organic waste, you know, vegetable peels and this and that. And if we can compost it, and you have a wonderful thing at home, and then you can use it for your plants. So there is a win-win situation there, you know, rather than dumping it there, and then it generates more methane and global warming and all that, right? So I know people will say, okay, you know, there are factories which are polluting, you know, we are just doing a small municipal thing. How is that? So we can keep talking about things which we can't control, like I said, right? We can keep blaming everything which is going wrong in the world. But instead, what I decided was, like I said, focus on what we can do, right? And if we collectively do, we are millions of people on this planet. If we collectively, individually take responsibility for our own action, don't worry about your neighbor's action or everybody else's action. Just in your personal responsibility, you know, just take that and just do that. I think that will create such a massive collective impact. Is what I believe in. And yes, our individual contribution is amazing and can actually have a huge impact, definitely. And so I would suggest composting is definitely one of those simple things you can just start off. Anyone can start off, no matter whether you are in an apartment or anywhere you are, you know. And cooking from scratch, like I said, and when I said about homesteading is nothing but trying to live as self-sufficiently as possible. So what happens is, when you just cook from scratch, right, when you just take basic ingredients and you're cooking a meal from scratch, that is part of homesteading, basically, right? Where you are not purchasing some ready-made item and adding to your food, but you are actually cooking it from scratch, right, from basic ingredients. That itself is a small step towards homesteading. And when we say homesteading, that word, when you use it, and when I've been using it, is because homesteading in a large way, when you look at it, people talk about it when you are growing everything, like you're growing your food, if you are and you are growing your own chickens for eggs, let's say you have a cow, and you have, you know, your milk supply at home, you grow all your crops, all your oils, everything. That is the extent to which you can do homesteading, where you don't rely on the external system at all, right? You do not need a supermarket, you do not need anything for yourself. You are self-sufficient in that capacity, that you're growing everything for yourself and your family's needs, right? So that's what I would say is homesteading at an extreme level, where people are doing it, actually. And most of us, if you see in the villages and all that, they do have this kind of a setup, right? Even small scale farms, you know, they'll grow their own vegetable in their backyard, they'll have a cow, right? All that thing. Of course, they still need to get things from others, but sometimes, like in older days, they'll barter. Somebody will grow something else, and they'll get that in exchange of what they are growing. So, you know, they're like kind of self-sufficient among that small area. And I feel that is the future of, you know, where we are now, as the world is going towards the centralized system and globalization of things and all that. I think somewhere these small farms, people individually doing these small things, having a small garden, having a cooperative society where, you know, there are these community gardens, right? We can, the more you try to cut down your dependency on the external system, I think we can never go like, you know, 100%, you know, self-sufficient. But, you know, how much ever you can in your individual capacity, like I always say, right, whether it's 1% or 20% or 50%, doesn't matter. If you're cooking from scratch, great. That is a big start. If you have a small kitchen garden, if you grow a few herbs in your, you know, in your garden, everything matters. Everything is towards that, you know, skill, a skill that you have developed. If you mend your own clothes, if you're doing anything in the DIY way, right, where you are not depending on an external person or a system, you are already homesteading in a small scale, right? And we can always continue to improve upon our skills and learn new skills or add something, add a new dimension to that, whatever allows you, wherever you're living, however you're living. Sometimes what people say is, oh, I don't have this, I don't have land, I don't have, you know, huge financial things for me to put into place. No, it's not like that. Wherever you are, whatever you can do at that particular given point that you are in your life is good enough, right? Just do that. That itself is enough, is what I feel. Right. And so I hope I've added a few tips for the listeners. So simple things in life, you know, it does not have to be complicated, is what I mean. You know, it does not have to be big things, small daily things, reducing your waste, recycling your waste, segregating your waste, because most apartments now have adopted this. Our apartment has a system where we have to segregate and keep our waste outside. And, you know, I, of course, compost my kitchen waste, and my other waste, of course, if it is a recyclable waste, I leave it out, that they take it for recycling. So, you know, those kind of things are definitely something we can do in our capacity.
Great. Such wonderful tips, and so much to learn from you, Kalpana. And I'm sure that a lot of these things are super easy to do. It just takes a little bit of commitment. And I will just repeat 2-3 things which you said, like mending your clothes, that there is a trend that we throw clothes and buy new. Why not mend them and reuse them? Then as you were talking about those steel lunch boxes and bottles, I still remember for years when we used to. So I would like to say it here, that when schools seem to be starting once again, so all the parents, please gear up yourself and bring those sealed lunch boxes and the long life water bottles back to your kids' school bags, instead of just getting glorified or getting attracted to those cartoon characters and plastic lunch boxes, which are really not a sustainable approach. So this is a small thing which every household can at least start doing, instead of just switching to the lucrative things which they see in the market or on the front. So obviously I agree that one don't have to do everything on the list, but at least we can try and find the options, because there is always a correct way to do something. So as you said, that rather than multitude ways of ranging from this, that and everything, I think we need to weigh all the available options and be a conscious consumer in whatever we are buying, whatever we are throwing. So don't just consume for the sake of consuming is the main thing. And don't just get attracted to all the ads or the colors or the things which we get to see. But be reasonable, be conscious, and be aware of whatever you are buying. Great. We wind up, so I would just like to once again tell all my listeners that you can check Kalpana's site, which has some wonderful e-courses like a 30-day program on self-sustainability, organic gardening workshop, soap making, DIY natural cleansers, and a lot of e-courses. And not only this, she also has many free resources also to get you started, like home composting, as she mentioned, bioenzymes for home cleaning, and a lot more of them. And also, listeners, you can even go for a field trip to her Kalpavriksha farms. So if you are in or around Chennai, please don't miss this chance. Don't miss the opportunity to take your kids specially to Kalpavriksha farms. And to add to the attraction, I would love to tell that her farm is solar powered. She has 20 plus coconut trees and 50 plus fruit and flowering trees. So it's worth a visit, I must say. And your products are also available on Kalpa, your farmhouse living site, right?
Yes. That's a sustainable, decor, farmhouse decor items. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a recent venture. Yeah.
Great. So do visit her site, just go through the courses and the things which she has sharing on it. And I'm sure you're going to get inspired with the life she is living. It was really lovely talking to you, Kalpana. And yes, I would like to say it here that I had read a quote which says that what you see depends on how you view the world. To most people, soil can be just a dirt, but to a farmer, it's a potential. And you have actually seen the potential in the soil with your Kalpa Vriksha Farms. And before winding up, listeners, I would again share with you that make the Rs your best friend. And for zero waste, you just need to refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle and rot, as I have always been saying for composting. And every day we have a choice to make this world a little waste-free. Just think what you can do today and how you can do today. So great talking to you, Kalpana. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much for your time and your experiences which you shared with us today.
So, thank you, Pragun, for this opportunity. All the very best.
Thank you very much. So, dosto, aaj ke liye itna hi. Panchatattva Girl will be back with more green talks and conscious living conversations towards eco-friendly living. Tab tak haste rahiye, muskurate rahiye, aware and conscious rahiye, and make a wise choice to go zero waste and chemical-free in your daily life. Learn how you can make small changes that are eco-friendly and will have a lasting impact. And don't forget that eco-friendly living is not a choice. It's a habit which we all inculcate and practice. That's all for today. Thank you. Namaskar. Bye-bye.